So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio.
It's our weekly happy hour here on Trending, and it is so good to be with you. Coming from California, I'm back for a short period of time. It was great this past weekend. I was actually back in my hometown of Lake Arrowhead in the glorious Southern California mountains in San Bernardino. Shout out to our San Bernardino station of Relevant Radio. And I was talking at a Crisis Pregnancy Center fundraiser, and it was so interesting to be back in my own hometown. I'd never done that before, and it was a joy to see faces of people I haven't seen in years coming around this community of a small crisis pregnancy center that is a future, as we see Roe versus Wade possibly and very likely being overturned in this great nation. It'll be even greater when we see overturn and the question of abortion return back to the states. It was great to see that people were surrounding this crisis pregnancy center because more women will be turning to crisis pregnancy centers for specific help because they were declined an abortion. They didn't have access. Where access decreases, abortions decrease. That's just the way it goes. But even when abortions decrease, women still need assistance in the face of the circumstances they themselves face. So please, I want to encourage you to support your local crisis pregnancy center. Now, it's our weekly happy hour here on Trending. So I have a question for you. Does going to confession, receiving the sacrament of reconciliation, make you happier? Why? Why not? Does it perpetuate Catholic guilt for you, or does it make you feel better? I'd love to hear from you. It's the question of the hour, 1-888-914-9149. Or I put up an Instagram story. You can comment on my Instagram story. I'd love to hear from you. Share your comments live during the show here on Relevant Radio. Also, we're going to discuss is what you're searching for, especially what millennials are searching for today in traveling the world, even avoiding marriage, pursuing their careers and education or whatever they are pursuing. Is it making them happier what they are finding, what they are seeking out, and what are they ultimately looking for? We know that, but the question is what they're delighting in currently truly a long-lasting delight? Does the hunt end? Do they feel fulfilled once they've traveled the world, once they've seen the country they so desire? Joining me will be Jim O'Day, the Executive Director of Integrity Restored, and we're going to discuss finding good, finding happiness in those daily disappointments that occur throughout the day, from breakfast time, or maybe it was a daily disappointment because you missed breakfast, to dinner time, to the time we lay down our heads at the end of the day. How do we find good in those moments? And finally, how to build a library of letters to those you love. I think this is a really fascinating topic. Do you write letters to your family members? Do you write letters to your future family members? Well, let's talk about that here on the show and why this actually brings joy and happiness. You're listening to Trending with Timory here on Relevant Radio. I'm Timory. I want to first unpack this idea of millennials today. I was talking to a couple friends of mine, and we're discussing how so many millennials, my generation, those really born basically through the 80s through 1996, that those millennials, also known as Gen Y, tend to not just go searching for happiness, for fulfillment. Ultimately, they're searching for God. But what's fascinating is as they travel the world, experience other cultures, see beautiful scenery and scenes that any of us would love to see that would make us feel good and happier and have perhaps a better life experience. Or even those who are pursuing career education. Or even some who entering into their 40s. Now, that's right. Millennials are getting up there in age, reminding my generation. We're not as young as we used to be. That now pursuing having children as the fertility capacity window shortens and shortens for women. At times, it's too late. What are they searching for, even in this desire to have children late in life? I think this is an important question. We know that they're searching for God, but I think we have to narrow it down to an even clearer perspective for ourselves to understand that I think at the heart of all of this, and this was something a dear friend of mine said last week to me. He said specifically men, but it's true of all of us. men are seeking and they're finding what they've been looking for in the cross. And I'll explain to you why they're seeking this and finding it, or finding a sense of it. There's been this massive movement surrounding people such as the psychologist, psychotherapist, Jordan Peterson. He has a book, 12 Rules of Life. And then there's retired Navy SEAL Jocko Willink with his book such as Discipline Equals Freedom, these mottos, the dichotomy of leadership, extreme ownership, taking ownership for your life, finding the balance in leadership, not participating in vainglory or enabling others in dependence. But at the heart of all of these ideas and these revolutions that we're seeing, especially among young men, that in this hunt specifically for self-improvement, that although we can get lost in our desire for self-improvement, what we're ultimately looking for, and what these men who are in droves signing up for things such as Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu because a retired Navy SEAL named Jocko Willink said to them that they will be freer if they're more disciplined. They can have that cake if they're more disciplined with their body and it'll be okay. They can have, you know, an off day, an off week. If they're disciplined, that's okay because they have discipline and that allows for freedom, for adaptation. I think at the heart of all of this is that they're discovering as they're signing up for Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and waking up at 4 a.m., all of these great things, if they don't get stuck in the midst of these what are truly many crosses, even though they might not know this and be united to some form of Christianity, what they're ultimately discovering, hopefully, is this idea of sacrificial love. That, yeah, waking up at 4 a.m. sucks. But it can allow me, for example, the opportunity to stay healthy and fit for my family, to pray, to have enough time to achieve all that must occur. Things such as being able to physically take a hit and defend someone else. This idea of sacrificing for others, that actually makes me feel better because at the heart of it is this idea of sacrificial love. And in fact, in a certain respect, unconditional love, that when we have the capacity, especially for men, to protect other human beings, you're showing just a glimpse for a moment of the unconditional love that Christ showed on the cross. When you defend a stranger, you didn't require that they give their credentials of being 100% innocent of any crime. It's unmerited in a certain respect, that sacrificial love of defending another human being. You know, I think it's interesting. Men are choosing to step into the shoes of sacrifice, even if it's for the sake of self-improvement. At the end of the day, it's leading to a self-sacrifice and a self-conversion. If only people of faith like you and I would help them to see, go all the way, what you're searching for, the self-improvement, the self-betterment, the capacity to take a hit, overcoming any weight issues or whatever it might be, or even searching for wonderful cultures, that all of this at the end of the day, what they're ultimately searching for is God, who is love, who is total life-giving, sacrificial love. This is important because my question that I have for many of my generation is, as you're searching and you're searching, because they too know they're searching, they know they're discontented. While you continue to search, as you find various things along the way, are they making you happier? Are they making you content in terms of long-term contentment? This is the challenge we have as a culture, to help bridge the gap between the search, the momentary discoveries, and the ultimate total fulfillment and happiness that is fleeting, to the total and complete unwavering peace and joy. Joy, which is a virtue rooted in God, that even in the midst of our emotional highs and lows, joys, anxiety, giddiness, even moments of depression. You know, I think everyone at some point has these moments, some longer than others, that there's still joy in the cross, that there's joy in Christ. There's joy in the life to come, and there's joy even moment to moment in our own lives. I was reminded of this, and I've shared a little bit. It was really hard for me moving to the Midwest about 6 months ago now. It was terribly hard. And I was saying it was like a mini depression for me, you know, leaving family and friends and everyone. But there are so many joyful moments in discovering those, in the moments of my little family, in the moments of, you know, my baby girl's smile and giggle and laugh, and the quality time that she has with her dad watching them together. And that's why a little later on here, joining me on Relevant Radio will be Jim O'Day. He's the executive director of Integrity Restored. And I'm excited to unpack, I think, what's a really important topic. And that is being encouraged throughout our day as we have so many challenging moments, you know, from the time we wake up, sometimes the moments where we skip breakfast or skip lunch or skip dinner, as we have a bad day at work or whatever might happen, that we're taking a stock of our lives. And even in those bad moments, that we're seeing the good. You're listening to Trending with Tim Murray here on Relevant Radio, the executive director of Integrity Restored, who helps people struggling with pornography addictions as well as their loved ones, is Jim O'Day. He's also a life coach. He's had a background in everything from homeland security, defense, sales, to now helping to protect those who are struggling with pornography addiction. You can find them at integrityrestored.com. We'll also link to them on social media now. I know Patrick will post a link to them on my Twitter. Welcome to Trending, Jim.
Hey, Timmy, great to be on with you.
I'm looking forward to unpacking this topic that we have of kind of finding the good, finding the joy in daily disappointments. I thought this was a good reminder. In fact, I'm with all my family and I was complaining to my brother-in-law about something just a little while ago. And, you know, typical guy logic, like, you know, it's life. Not a big deal. It's okay. And I laughed because as I was sitting here frustrated, he gave me a really good opportunity to like let go of my resentment or frustration and not to allow myself to be overcome by it. And so what was starting as like kind of a bad negative moment for me was able to turn into more of like, you know what? You're right. It's okay. Let's move on. And it was kind of almost a moment of a mini accomplishment in the middle of the day. And this really reminded me of this topic.
You know, it's funny because as human beings, one of the things we do, and I was thinking about this this weekend, Timmy. I'll tell a little personal story in a minute, but happiness and struggle don't have to be at war with each other in our lives. In fact, they can't be. Because when you look at almost any day in the life of a human being, there's going to be moments of happiness and moments of struggle. So you follow me on Instagram and Facebook, and you probably saw my new puppy. He's just turned a year old, 141-pound St. Bernard. Had to get a Catholic dog. And he's a wonderful dog. We rescued him. He's been great. He's awesome with the family and with the grandkids. But he's a big guy. And we were out playing. I was doing some long leash training with him. So he's on a 30-foot line. We're in the backyard. We're having a great time. And I remember it was a beautiful day. The sun was shining. I was feeling so good. I'm having fun with the dog. And my phone beeps. So I get distracted. I pull the phone out of my pocket. I'm looking at the phone. I'm not paying attention to him. And he sees a deer. And he takes off at a full run.
Oh,
and gets goodness. All 30 feet of that line, which is wrapped around my fingers. So I now have a broken pinky finger. If we were on video, everybody could see it. Yes.
Oh, gosh.
In a moment, in an instant, I went from being happy as could be, bouncing out there with the dog, to saying some things I can't say on the radio for sure. And really not so happy and in a struggle. Now, what am I going to do with this finger and blah, blah, blah. The point is, every day there's things like that. In the grand scheme of things, it's not a big deal, right? I broke my pinky finger. It will be fine.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is, it was a choice then. Was the rest of my day focused on that mutter, broken pinky finger? Or we were just having a good time and it was an accident.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out, as human beings, remembering the bad is much more natural to us.
Yeah.
And that's a challenge. We recall, we remember bad memories much more easily. And in fact, in deeper detail than the good ones.
You know, isn't that interesting? Because it's so easy to get worked up when you hear, you know, something that triggers perhaps a bad memory. It's so easy, yeah. I think, especially for us as women to just run down that trail. I mean, our poor husbands sometimes, you know, you have an old past memory triggered and you can just run with it so quickly. And I think it's a fault as humans, but especially I think for us women in particular.
Well, and it's interesting because neuroscience has been doing a lot of work in looking at this. And in particular, fear, sadness, and anxiety, they trigger increased activity in a part of the brain linked to memories. Even more so than, you know, a happy moment or a birthday cake or a good taste. It's really interesting. And they're starting to say now that that's for evolutionary reasons. Look, if something bad happened to you, don't put yourself in that position again.
Yeah.
But the problem is we're not living day to day anymore.
Culture.
Right.
You know, okay, so this is really fascinating. Just to kind of like think about this, that's a natural response that our body and our mind creates, that, you know, associating an increase in those negative, dangerous, harmful environments. But the reason why I bring this up is I think this is fascinating because you and I have studied a lot of the neuroscience behind everything from technology use, porn use, et cetera. But there's a high level of cortisol and stress hormones being released into our bodies because of the way we use our technology, among other
no
things.
No question.
The fast-paced life we live. So would you say that this capacity to kind of balance out memory recall and anxiety and stress is very unregulated today? Or kind of what are we seeing in neuroscience on this?
Oh, there's no question. I mean, one of the things we see here all the time at Integrity Restored is that lack of balance. And even people in recovery from porn addiction who we work with every day, other addictions take their place virtually, whether that's social media or unfortunately now, and we should do a show on this online gambling is at epidemic levels, Timory. And people are looking for happiness. You talked about it before. People are looking for happiness, but they're remembering all the bad things and not remembering the good things.
Yes.
At any given day, mm-hmm. even if it was the worst day, something good happened, I guarantee you. You something as simple as had a great meal. This weekend, I made an incredible lamb roast.
Ooh,
that
sounds good.
That was awesome, right?
Now, and delighting in that moment.
That's the key, to teach ourselves to do that.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that because about maybe 2011, 2012, I really stopped listening to anything in the car. I, you know, don't have the radio on. Now I listen a little bit more sort of podcasts, but I really try to make sure I had more silence in my life. And what was significant about that is, let's say before I was going home for a visit to see my family or to see a friend, that I would really take the time to, you know, anticipate the conversations, you know, be aware of, you know, my own struggles, be aware of, you know, challenges I might be in, but to really be prepared to delight in the moments and be aware enough to recognize them. But then what really was beneficial was after leaving, having that silence, kind of almost doing this refresh of, you know, debriefing in my mind of, oh man, that moment was so great, or that conversation. It allowed me to delight and enjoy not just the time spent together, but to even kind of build up that memory a little bit more so that I didn't miss it and just allow it to be something passing in terms of a memory.
It's so interesting because that's a huge struggle for us as human beings. The happiness quotient, well, first of all, I think we kind of define it incorrectly too often as just pleasure, really. as opposed to engagement with other people or doing something that has meaning. Right. That's the, you know, that's the fullness of life. But we kind of brush through those moments. Mm-hmm. And then our mind automatically, because of the way it's built for self-protection, remembers the bad moments. So by you doing that consciously, burning in those images of goodness and joy and happiness, burning them into your brain, well, now when something bad happens, you actually can go back and pull those up again when you need to be uplifted.
I love that. It reminds me of a wedding. I remember so many people before I got married told me to really make moments in the midst of the wedding ceremony and the wedding reception to just like almost pull back and take a snapshot of the moment. But I think it's so hard today for us to pull back and be conscious of doing that, that I, ever since I got married, I really took a couple moments. I remember, you know, specifically a time both during the wedding mass, multiple moments, and then as well during the reception, I really just tried to pull back and savor the moment. And those are moments, you know, you have that you recognize, wow, I really did slow down. Instead of allowing life to happen to me, I was a part of what was happening in life and I was there. And I remember, you know, the people, the smells, you know, the emotions, even all of these elements that are so important that we miss when we're distracted by any number of things in today's day and age.
Absolutely. And you know, as we've talked about before, technology is a wonderful thing. But it's also a really dangerous thing because it only shows us the glimpses into people's lives that they want to share.
Right.
And what are those glimpses? Well, sometimes it's 10 takes to get the exact picture they want. And you think that's been their day. No, it hasn't. You know, right. The dog broke their finger. Earlier, you just don't see their hand in the post.
I've been up for four nights in a row, semi, it's been my life lately.
With a baby, right? But yeah. If you were to put up a picture on Instagram, well, you're going to put makeup on those dark circles, aren't you?
I mean, you and I were getting ready for an Instagram live a couple weeks ago, and we're both working from home. I'm like, well, let's regroup in a couple hours. You know, I got to put on some makeup, get out of my clothes. I think you had to take your Kish t-shirt off.
I did. That's right. And that's the point. We show what we want to show. It's not the reality of somebody's life, yet we judge our own based upon that falsehood.
That's Jim O'Day, the Executive Director of Integrity Restored. You can find them at integrityrestored.com, helping people who are struggling with pornography for their loved ones. We're going to come back talking with Jim during our weekly hour about writing letters to our loved ones and how this can happen. Also, love to hear from you on an important topic. Be right back. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
We're talking about what you're thinking about. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Does going to confession make you happier? I think this is a really important question. I'd love to hear from you. The number is 1-888-914-9149. We also have people responding now on Instagram. If you'd like to follow me and answer the question, does going to confession make you happier? I will share live during the show. Just follow me at Timmerie. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. It's always a great place to be if you want during the happy hour. Just create your own happy hour. Cute baby photos, me with baby. Baby is really who you're looking for. As I'm reminded every day by all of you, you can't hear me if she's there. Isn't that fun? I think like kids are such a delight for us that there may be a million things going on in the room, but when there's a sweet, precious voice and little giggle, it warms our hearts and completely distracts us from everything else going on. I've actually heard people say before, if you want to be happier, spend 20 minutes a day with a little kid. Of course, within the age range that you enjoy. So for me, it would be babies because I've said it before, I don't like little kids that much. I really don't. I know everyone gets so offended when I say that, but I digress. That's a conversation for another day. We should have a whole talk. I would love to hear from other people, not today, as to why they don't like kids either. and how they've kind of worked to overcome that. That is a great topic. We will talk about that another day. But I want to let you know some exciting news, very exciting news. Relevant Radio wants to give you a gift. It's a gift I received this year, and I cannot wait to display it this coming winter. Relevant Radio wants to give you a beautiful outdoor nativity set valued at over $500, and we want you to have it in plenty of time to display it throughout the Advent and Christmas season. We're giving away a set to 200 lucky people. Register to win a set at relevantradio.com/nativity. You only have until midnight central on October 14th to sign up. This Advent, let's boldly and together proclaim Christ in our neighborhoods. Remind your neighborhood to let Christ into their hearts and their homes by displaying an elegant hand-painted nativity set from us here at Relevant Radio. Again, register at relevantradio.com/nativity. Joining me now is Jim O'Day. He is the Executive Director of Integrity Restored, helping those who are struggling with pornography addiction to take back their life, take back joy, their marriages, their relationships, future relationships, and also helping those who are their loved ones. You can find them at integrityrestored.com. And during our weekly happy hour, Jim shared that he wanted to talk about writing legacy letters to loved ones. Can you share a little bit of what this is and how it's been important in your life? And it's something that all of us can do.
Well, but first, the most important thing, Timory, can I win the nativity?
Yes, you can. Go and apply right now.
I'm going to sign up. Absolutely. I'm going to do it.
It's huge. It's so
awesome.
Cool.
Oh, I'm
yes,
so excited.
Please.
I'm going to, yes. You know, that's if you can... watch the
put in a good word.
Yeah, put
yeah,
in a good
I'll,
word.
I'll put in a good word for you. I don't know how far that will go. You know, I don't know if it's out of a hat, but maybe, you know, the trick is, aren't you supposed to fold, like when you put something in a hat, fold the piece of paper and you're more apt to get your name picked?
That is correct.
I'll see what I can do.
The little tricks. So this legacy letter is something I started doing probably 10 years ago. Every year, on my birthday, I'll write a letter to my wife and to my two kids. And in that letter, just really tell them something I want to tell them. Because here's the truth of the matter. My mom died when I was 19. Mm. I needed her advice after that.
Yeah. Wow.
And I had nothing. My dad died about 13 years ago. And still to this day, I want to pick up the phone and call him. You know, when I used to think of legacy, I always thought it meant leaving money for
interesting, right? Yeah, isn't that fascinating? People focus so much on the finances, the property.
But that's not it. They want you to leave them parts of you, who you were, what you would have told them. I read a great little thing. This was years ago. It's all yellow now. I think the author was a guy named Brian Andreas. I can't really make out the bottom of it anymore, but it says, "What do I get for this?" I said. And the angel gave me a catalog filled with toasters and clock radios and a basketball signed by Michael Jordan. And I said, "But this is just stuff." And the angel smiled and folded me in her arms. "I'm so glad you said that," the angel whispered to me.
Mm-hmm.
"I knew you still had a chance."
Mm-hmm.
The fact of the matter is, if we take that time once a year or once a month or every day to write a little note and then put it away, when we're gone, which we all will be someday, your family has something to hold on to, something of you. And they can read through those and remember the happiness, the joy. They can hear your voice speaking to them again in the midst of what will feel like a really bad time.
Yeah.
And so that's why I started doing that, Timory. And it's a simple thing, you know, pick the day, New Year's Eve, Christmas, your birthday, whatever it may be, and think about who in your life you're going to want to leave a message to? Who in your life are you going to want to leave some advice to? And the way I look at those letters is pretty simple. What did I learn this year? What did I screw up this year? And what would I say to my wife or my children about those things? So it's not a real long letter, but every year they'll be able to pull those out and remember.
I think that's a powerful witness at the same time as giving something, passing it forward to your child, you know, having that for them to savor and to remember, you know, words that were never spoken to them necessarily before. But also on the flip side, you know, so many people today fear death, fear the reality of death. You know, we keep having with my family this last weekend conversations about, you know, what's the end game of artificial intelligence? What's the purpose? I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, this easing of suffering, as we've seen. You know, they want to ease the capacity of how we communicate with others without even having to speak. You know, ease the capacity of depression, anxiety, the pain of death, you name it. But I think in reality, all of artificial intelligence, a lot of it is oriented toward this painless death or not dying at all and uploading your brain to, you know, this new universe where you live forever, versus what you're talking about is literally a preparation for your own death to pass on the love, perhaps the wisdom, perhaps even just the memories of a moment you shared together that almost allows you this peace that when God calls us, whenever that may be, at whatever age, whatever day, whatever time that might be, that we have given something to our loved ones.
That's exactly the point. And we don't know the day or the time. So, you know, so many of us, I'm in my 50s now. You're a millennial. But still the thought of a legacy is something for later. Mm-hmm. Well, not later. Do it now. Yeah. Start today. Write a letter. And for me, I put it in my sock drawer under all my socks because that will get cleaned out at some point. Yes.
Those socks. Now, does your wife or your kids know about this?
They do now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They do now. They didn't for a number of years. Then, as you know, last December I had a heart attack. And didn't think I was going to make it. And I told them about it. I said, look, if something happens, you got to clean out the sock drawer right away.
Don't just throw it all out.
Yeah, why the sock drawer? Well, so now they do know, but they haven't opened them. And, you know, I really just feel like at least there are things that we don't say as human beings. Mm-hmm. And when you put them in a letter in the sealed envelope, you can say them. And I just think it's a great way to communicate your continued love for them. Because as we know, as Catholics, as Christians, it doesn't end. We don't stop loving our family. We'll be praying for them when we're gone.
Yeah.
We'll be watching over them. We'll be interceding for them.
Yeah. And speaking of babies, my baby girl is hanging out in the background here with us. A little girl. She's so precious. She's almost 10 months old yet. Yep. That's her. She's saying, hello, mom.
She said, come on, mom. Time to play.
Yeah. Come on. We got to hang out. What you're talking about with these legacy letters, it reminds me too, because I think a lot of people might be listening. Like, I don't write letters. That's so old fashioned. You know, give me a text, write me an email. I can pull out, you know, a Google Doc and I'll just save a file on my computer. But I'll never forget, I think about 10 years ago, I started to, you know, get into, you know, remembering, you know, you need to write thank you cards for things. And, you know, even I had, you know, some friendships I developed across the country. And, you know, man, you have these rich friendships. It's like, why, Lord, do you give me these great friends, but they live on the other side of the country? Now my family is on the other side of the country. And I've been really bad about this since I've had the baby. But I remember once my sister left, especially, you know, making sure that I write just, you know, simple little notes, actually taking the time to, you know, write out a handwritten birthday card. And I think that there's something so powerful in that. As you said, there are things that we will say when we write with our hands, even sharing certain emotions and allowing those emotions to come and go, allowing thoughts and memories in a way that we wouldn't normally express ourselves. And I think part of this is also at the heart of that fear of death the fear of sharing feelings. And even as, you know, people criticize this culture where men are told they can't share their feelings, I think men used to share a lot more than they do now because of letter writing.
If you ever read, it's really, really interesting. If you ever read the letters back and forth from the founding fathers of this country, they are full of emotion.
Yeah.
And concern and fear and openness and strength. And it's really unbelievable how men used to be able to communicate and still are, actually. We just have
and they
to
weren't
do
afraid
it.
Of being called gay or effeminate, or they didn't right. view it as something wrong. It was a part of who we are as people. You know, there's a difference between sharing what you feel and think and, you know, going around being mopey boy or, you know, whiny person. There's a big difference. I think that letters may be part of that lost art. And that's part of the reason why people use social media as they do, because they're not channeling that correctly.
Well, and I want to challenge the listeners. Whether you're a mom or a dad, a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, if you knew you had one final chance to communicate with that special someone in your life, would you just send them a text?
Mm-hmm. Right.
LOL? Yeah. Emoji, emoji?
Right.
No. Sit down, write them a letter. First of all, I find it incredibly therapeutic for me. And also, that's something they're going to hold on to. We don't have those type of memories anymore. Even our photographs are all in the cloud somewhere or saved on our phone. Those are going to go away.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Jim, I think this is a great challenge for us to do because it allows us to be better at expressing our love for others, have a gift that we're sending into the future. As you're saying, these legacy letters, you know, whatever state in life you're in, take the opportunity, write a letter. And Patrick just commented, I have horrible handwriting. I don't want to do letters. I have horrible handwriting too. My hand hurts when I write, but I think it's something important to be able to physically, tangibly give of yourself to other people with these letters one day. And Jim, excellent challenge, because it's something that we can all work on. That's Jim O'Day, the executive director of Integrity Restored. You can find him at integrityrestored.com as well as on social media. We've tagged him and his organization. You'll find a link in the show notes for today. I'll be right back during our weekly happy hour, and we're going to discuss, and I want to hear from you, does going to confession make you happier?
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
It's our weekly happy hour here on Trending, and here's a question of the hour. Does going to confession make you happier? I think this is an important question. I'd love to hear from you. The number is 1-888-914-9149. You can also comment on my Instagram story. Send me a message right there. You can comment right in the box. Follow me at Timmerie, Timmerie. Patrick from Bordentown, New Jersey, commented saying that he's been going to confession weekly for years now, and it helped him to overcome a lot of vices. When we decrease vice, increase virtue, allow for the Holy Spirit and the grace of God to work in us through sanctifying grace, we're not just happier, those momentary feelings. We are joyful. We are joy-filled. This is such, I think, a powerful testimony to hear. Bill from Helena, Montana is also calling to share about how confession makes him better. Bill, what do you have to say about confession? Does it make you happier?
Hey, Timmy. Yeah, I guess to kind of coattail on what you just said from the person who emailed in, I think it's more a feeling of joy than happiness, although, you know, happiness is fleeting as it is, it's in there too. But for me, it's the joy lies in that focus of, you know, offering up to God what is His, having, you know, practicing justice and humility in knowing that, well, as a man, as I'm called to be, that sacrament is there for me to benefit and grow as a custodian in life. And so while it may be, you know, difficult at first to go to confession with the anticipation of sharing those things, ultimately it's a sublimation of pride and giving in, looking to the cross and saying, well, that's my model right there. If I'm going to serve, if I'm going to be a good husband, member of the community, then I had better set my pride aside, reconcile with my God, and go forth. And when I come out of confession, what a completely different feeling.
Praise the Lord. You know, it's interesting because I think we do have, when we come out of confession, that experience of actual, like, the feeling of relief, the feeling of happiness, you know, those fleeting emotions that are there at that moment. I mean, honestly, I've seen it. I've done it. Almost that little skip in your step as you're walking out of that confessional light, and maybe even a smile on your face. And all of that is momentary. It is fleeting. But the joy of God, the grace of the Holy Spirit, if we have properly confessed everything, because then Jesus Christ has forgiven us. It's the priest acting persona Christi. We are in a state of grace in that moment, united to God. I mean, that is so powerful. You know, Patrick, you can just comment, you're walking on sunshine when you come out of the confessional. And if you've never been to confession, if you've been away from confession for 5 years, 6 months, 30 years, I think that that is so important for you to know that people in droves are calling and commenting right now, sharing that going to confession has made them a better person. Bill from Helena, there's a great sense of surrender. I mean, these are powerful testimonies. And I think that this is very juxtaposed. And is Bill still with me? Because I have a question. I'm curious of your thoughts, Bill. Oh, he's gone? Okay. Because other people have often said to me, like, oh, I'm a recovering Catholic. Or even people who are Catholic, they talk about the so-called, quote, Catholic guilt, which I just cringe when I hear that. Because I think something that Bill from Helena just said, that so often, you know, that thing that gets in the way from us going to confession is our pride. And I truly do believe that that so-called Catholic guilt isn't Catholic guilt. It's one, our conscience kicking in, helping us to continue to keep a developed, informed conscience, to understand our culpability, but also to orient us toward confession, ultimately forgiveness, so that we can receive grace. All of that is oriented toward a good. But I think what happens when we say, oh, my Catholic guilt, our pride kicks in because we're pushing up as hard as we can against our conscience. We're pushing up against the humility of praying and offering our sins to God, the ugliness of our life, and saying, Lord, forgive me. We're pushing up against that incredibly powerful moment where the God of the universe is forgiving us through the priest who's acting in persona Christi. We're literally denying ourselves the power of the cross, the power of God, because we try to be our own God. Well, what I did wasn't that bad. I don't have to go to confession. I can wait a couple more weeks, which turns into months, which turns into years, which turns into a justification of the very things that we've been struggling with. So I think that this is important to hear, where people are saying, going to confession makes me literally feel like I'm walking on sunshine. Patrick's words, not mine. Bill's words, there's a great sense of surrender. Makes me a better husband, spouse. This is, I think, a powerful, powerful testimony for us to know and to let go of that fear and that Catholic guilt that can get in the way of our happiness. Because it's not Catholic guilt, it's our pride. Rejecting the call to conversion and the call to confession. If you'd like to share your thoughts on it, and I'd love to hear from you, if confession makes you happier, Going to confession makes you happier. The number is 1-888-914-9149. You can also comment now on my Instagram story, following me at Timmerie. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. Michael Smith just commented, when I asked the question, does going to confession make you happier on Instagram? He said, absolutely. In all caps with multiple exclamation marks. He said, I could go on and on about confession. And it's so simple for us to see people are like, tell me what you want to know. Going to confession has literally changed my life. Mary's commented on Instagram. She said, confession definitely makes me happier. It takes a weight off of my mind and off of my heart. That's, I think, a very powerful testimony there, Mary, because when we go to confession, we take all the burdens of our sorrow over our own sins, our sorrow over our bad habits, all of these little things. And we're taking all of those moments that can cause anxiety, that can cause depression, and we're giving it to the Lord, and we are literally forgiven. And there is a spiritual reality that occurs in our life. And I keep saying this because it's been a theme over the last week to me. We keep separating our, quote, spiritual life. For some reason, people talk about my spiritual life. Your spiritual life is your whole life. There's no such thing as a spiritual life and then whatever your other life is that for some reason isn't being talked about. I think this is so important for us to recognize that our whole life is our spiritual life. There's no separation. And so why does confession make us happier? It helps us to overcome depression, anxiety, addiction, fear, bad habits. It helps heal our interpersonal relationships with other people. I even notice when I start to get, you know, quickly critical or grumpy or snippy with my husband or others, I need to go to confession. I need to go to confession to get rid of kind of that junk and that burden that's weighing down upon my own shoulders. We had a question from Marie from California, and she has a question about venial sin. Great. What's your question, Marie? Oh, okay. Marie was asking if venial sins are forgiven during Mass. Yes, your venial sins are forgiven during Mass if you are sorry for them. Received there during Mass, your venial sins are forgiven in prayer. I mean, this is so powerful. The sacrifice of Christ is present and real in the Mass. And so our venial sins are forgiven during Mass. Great question, because not a lot of people know this. So then some people might say, well, I've never committed a mortal sin in my life that I'm aware of. Why do I have to go to confession? You can still confess your venial sins. In fact, it's good to confess your venial sins. One, because who would deny themselves the additional graces and mercy of God who loves us is saying, come. But I think also, too, that culpability I know for me of going before the priest regularly and making that confession is so important. It's interesting. So my husband is a Maronite Catholic, which is the Lebanese part of the Catholic Church. He's a Maronite Catholic. And sometimes in the very, whether it's Byzantine, some of the, for example, Chaldean or Maronite or the Latin Rite, which is what most of us practice, there's sometimes little nuances in the theology that we're all reaching the same thing. It all means the same thing, but it's nuanced in different ways. And one of the things that the Maronites really have in their theology is they don't distinguish venial and mortal sin as much. And here's why, because they emphasize the importance even more so of confession. If you have sinned, you are culpable. If you have sinned, go before the Lord begging his forgiveness. Stop making excuses of, oh, it was just a venial sin, and so therefore it's okay. It's smaller than the great mortal sins. So I want to encourage you, if you've been away from the sacrament, if you don't go monthly, go to confession, go running, go tomorrow, find a church nearby that has an accessible time and a regular, and put it on your calendar.